I've got a question for you that is really going to kick off our time. What do you think is the purpose of marriage? So I know you got a program coming in. Some of you take notes. Like if you've got a pen, I want you to do that. There's a slide that's just going to go up. The purpose of marriage is blank. You've got to put something down. Okay, everyone has to put down something. Now, you might be embarrassed by what you put down, you know, when you hear the answer later, but that's okay. Everyone's got to put down something. So take a minute and go ahead and do that. I asked an engagement class once what the purpose of marriage is, and some are bold enough to answer it, and some don't. Some would, if they could, they would say sex, hopefully, and others just say things like happiness and comfort and friends. One guy, no joke, in an engagement class, the guy spoke up, and maybe on behalf of the couple, said purpose of marriage is tax breaks. How would you feel if you were that gal? Like, get out now. You know, if your guy says the goal in this is a tax break, it's time to get out of that relationship. Like, really, what's the purpose of marriage? And I would say that some singles are really excited about marriage, and rightly so. But you might think sex or kids or a friend for life, which are great gifts from God, would satisfy. They are great gifts from God, but they make terrible gods. There might be some people here who are just barely holding on in marriage. Like, you're married, but just barely. You put on a show, you make people think that you've got it together, and you are literally holding on by a thread. And you've really given up hope that that other person will ever change their ways. Some saw a divorce like I did growing up, and it broke your heart. In fact, some of you might think, especially a lot of that college crowd, just might think, I want relationship, but just not what I saw in my mom and my dad. Maybe some have experienced that terrible pain of divorce. And you're just trying to heal. You're kind of wondering, will it ever be different than the tragedy I went through? What is the purpose of this? What is the point of the whole thing? We're going to talk about that. And before we get rolling, I want us to look just real quick at a verse that's right before our text. It's going to be up on a slide. Ephesians 5:18, because before we even say a purpose, we're going to see where God's power is in marriage. And it says it right before this text on marriage. Ephesians 5:18 says this. The Bible says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But look, be filled with the Spirit. Here's where the power is, the Spirit. And a person who's filled with the Spirit, it shows itself in many ways. Look, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want you to know, before we even look at the purpose of marriage, you need to know that the power is in the Spirit of God. A person who is filled by the Spirit of God has power to live outside of themselves. I listened to Drew's message last week. Go back if you haven't. He said marriage is hard, and I would agree. And I've got a great marriage by God's grace. It's hard, but power comes through God's Spirit. And for anyone who's trying to do it on their own, you have failed to see that marriage was never meant to be a two-person thing. It's a marriage of three, a husband, a wife, and God in the dead center of it, empowering it. But God is the one who said, "Be filled by my Spirit." And even that idea of submitting, that would happen in the power of God's Spirit. And then our text begins. Now, Drew spoke to Ephesians 5 and to ladies just last week. And it really says God calls wives to a respectful submission. That's something we're going to see right away. God calls wives to respectful submission. The Bible says, and I'll just read over these pretty quickly because it's not my part, it was his last week. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. It's true, God is calling wives to submit to their husbands. Not because they are worth more, no, totally equal in the eyes of God, but God desires order even in the marriage relationship. And so God is calling a wife to submit, which doesn't mean to get trampled on underneath. It's a voluntary thing. Submission is never coerced. It shows maturity. It's a voluntary placing yourself under the leadership, the authority, the encouragement, and the nurture of someone else. That's, you're trying to encourage and nurture their leadership. God's calling wives to that place. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to Drew as he taught on that. But I'm telling you, ladies, you have an example. You have an example in marriage that also was equal and yet submitted. Equal yet submitted. And your example, and this is beautiful, the example for every woman in marriage is Jesus Christ. Jesus is your example, who was same with equality with God and yet submitted himself to the leadership of the Father. Even when it was hard, remember Jesus going to the cross, saying, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup of suffering from me," referring to the crucifixion that was coming. "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus is the perfect example of submission, equal to God in worth, different in roles. And so for wives, they would be set free and inspired by Jesus, who goes before and models what it means to submit to authority, submitting himself to the Father's will. Wives, you have a beautiful example in Christ. But I have the privilege to talk to the men this morning. Men, our passage begins in verse 25. And at the end, husbands and wives, you can discuss among yourselves who has it harder, husbands or wives. I'll tell you my wife's answer at the end. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27 is going to show us how Christ loves. Verse 25 says this: "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." Husbands, it says in verse 25, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In some other versions, it says, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Most two convicting like words in the whole Bible, just as. Husbands, how should you love your wives? Oh, you know, I mean, just as Jesus loves his bride, the church. The ESV, it just simplifies it. Love her as Christ loves the church. As Christ loves the church. And so we're going to see right away that the best example for men in marriage is Jesus Christ. And you think, I thought you just said that about women. Yes, the best example for women in marriage is Jesus Christ, who submits himself to the will of the Father. He is the best example. But he is also the best example for men. The way he loves, putting on a demonstration to everyone about how he loves. Yeah, he is our example too. And the Bible says it really clearly here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now here's the question that you have to answer, men. How exactly is God calling me to love my wife as Jesus loves his bride, the church? It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How exactly is God calling a husband to love his wife as Jesus loves his bride, the church? It's a critical question. We want to follow Jesus. We want to obey him. What is he calling me to? Well, the exact phrase, virtually, has already been said in Ephesians 5, verse 2. So look with me at Ephesians 5, verse 2, because this phrase has already been used. Ephesians 5, verse 2, it'll be up on the screen, says this: "And walk in love," saying this to all people, "and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us." Well, that was the most messed up reading of a verse I've ever done. Let me start over. "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So God has already said this exact phrase. You need to love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That's how we're supposed to love. Now, how was he loving there? The phrase that follows says, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know how Jesus loved people? He died for them. That's what he's talking about. A sacrifice, like a lamb was slaughtered earlier in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ was slaughtered. He's saying you're supposed to love with a sacrificial love like that. How did Christ love us? He died for us. Is God calling husbands, therefore, to die for their wives so that they could go to heaven? Well, no. I don't know anyone who believes that. No, God's not calling us to die for our wives so they can go to heaven. So if that's not true, what does it mean? Look back at Ephesians 5, 25, and here it's just going to begin to unfold for us. And this is just beautiful for me to see. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, here we go, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Now, I want to stop there. The Bible says love her in such a way that sanctifies her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Now, here's the next question, husbands. Because you read a phrase like that, having washed her by water with the word, it's kind of an odd phrase. It doesn't immediately make sense. It didn't make sense to me, at least. And I begin to think, is it my job as a husband, is it your job as a husband to sanctify your wife, to make her more and more like Jesus? Is it your job before God, your responsibility before God, to make your wife more into the image of Christ? It's a great question. What does that phrase mean? Because sanctify can mean that. Progressive sanctification. It means more and more like Jesus. But it can also mean something else. Positional sanctification. It means the one time like you received Christ and you were made holy. Your position went from a place of death and judgment to a place of eternal life and holiness. Does it mean slowly getting like Jesus or boom, just like Christ? What is meant here? It helped me to learn about a ceremonial bath that women took back in that day. See, before a woman would get married in that culture, there was a bridal bath that she would take. A bridal bath to get ready for her husband, where she would be cleansed and she would make herself ready to be her husband's. That's what's in view here, I believe, this idea of bath. That's what they had in their minds, a bride getting ready for her husband. Now the question to ask is, how is it that Christ's bride got ready for her groom, Jesus? And all of marriage will begin to flow from this in a little bit. And it says it, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. What was it that cleansed the bride of Christ, that is us, the church? What was it that God used to cleanse us? His word. Here's what I think it means. God is saying, this is how I showed my love to my bride. I totally cleansed her of all of her sins, and you know how I did it? It wasn't with water. That picture's in mine. I did it with the word. God's word comes to a Christ follower. God's word comes to an unbeliever, and when they put their faith in it, they're born again. You're going to see 19 examples of people who, at some point, they were spiritually dead, like Drew mentioned earlier, they were spiritually dead, and the word of God came to them. And they understood that because of what Jesus has done for them, they can be forgiven of all their sins. In a moment, they can put their trust in Jesus, his perfect life on their behalf, and his sacrificial death in their place. And with a moment, they listen to the word of God, and they put their trust in it, and they are cleansed, they are washed, they are forgiven in the eyes of God, they are put in a place of holiness as a dearly loved child of God. That's what Jesus did. That's what's in view here. Jesus has cleansed us by the gospel that came through the word. That's how Jesus showed his love. And it happened at the moment of your salvation. So if the passage isn't saying a husband does that, dies for his bride, and the passage is not saying husbands ought to slowly sanctify their wives, making them more and more like Jesus, what am I supposed to learn from it? Just this, that as Christ sacrificially gave all to his bride, Husbands, so are you to do likewise. Jesus Christ loved his bride with tremendous, the greatest sacrifice ever. And he's saying this, you do the same. Husbands, your high calling in marriage is this. In fact, it'll be up on the screen. God calls husbands to sacrificial, loving leadership. If God calls wives to a respectful submission, look, God is calling husbands to a sacrificial, loving leadership. And these verses earlier talked about how Jesus showed that sacrificial love, and now it calls us to give our example. Verse 28 shows us how. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. This is verse 25, and we saw that, the cleansing, the washing of water with the word, so that, look at this, he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. So Christ's work cleansed her, and he brings her back to himself. Now look, verse 28, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. So I want to stop there. Now it starts getting really practical. I get it. Jesus, how he loved his bride. I'm not called to love just like exactly in the same way, but with a sacrificial love, it says, love your wife like you love yourself. In the Greco-Roman society, wives had obligations to their husbands, but husbands had no obligations to their wives. And here, God changes everything. It says, you give everything for her. It says he nourishes and cherishes. That word's a beautiful word, to cherish. God's saying, look, men, you already care for your own bodies. Love her like that. You already nourish and cherish your own bodies. Love her like that. In fact, look at this one word, cherish. It means to warm or to take care of. Guys, buckle in, because this is about to get really weird. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 is the only other time in the scripture that word's used. Look at how it's used. And this will give you a hint. Paul says, but we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So we're just going to pause. It's going to get odd, okay? Just be ready. Paul is saying, look, I was an apostle, but I was gentle among you, like a nursing mother takes care of her own children. Have you ever seen that? Some, like, need to just get up and go to Veritas Kids and just see an example of this. A nursing mother taking care of her children, it's a delicate kind of love. It's really gentle. It's almost intuitive. It's like they know somehow the exact temperature of the baby. And, oh, just take a little bit off. Wait, a little bit more. Perfect. You know, and you're like, I don't even know what's going on right now. Like, the guys are just standing there just watching this thing. It's a mystery unfolding. And they know how to do tricks, like supporting the head. Like, I did not learn that one at first. It's like you just grab the baby and they're like, you know. And the head, I'm like, I did not know that, you know. This isn't my fault. Its neck isn't developed. Don't blame that on me, you know. So I'm just holding it, trying to balance the head. No, I learned how to do, but they just know it. They're so gentle. Where they hold them just right, and it's just the temperature's just right, and they just know how to. Paul's saying, men, you're already like that with yourself. You just intuitively care for your own body that way. You take care of it. Think when you get a splinter in your finger, men, tough as you are. Whoa! You know, and then you're just ever so careful, just, you know, just, we already know intuitively how to care for our own body. Paul is saying, you love your bride with that kind of tender care. You love her with that kind of gentleness. Like a nursing mother, and you go, I don't want to. You love her like that. Men, let me just ask you, would your wife say that your care of her is a tender and gentle care? Or Do you hear things like this from your wife, like I hear from my wife? It's not what you're saying, it's... Guys, you just need to write that down. All the ladies just said something you need to write down. Especially the college guys. Get that down. Put that on your arm. You know, like... It's not what you're saying. It's how you're saying it. I'm like, I don't understand. It's a no, you know, and what's wrong with my word? You're hurting me. How can words hurt you? You're just doing it. I'm like, I don't get that. It's taken a lot of years of marriage even to have a clue what she means. There is a gentle tenderness, men, that even you would like to be spoken to that way. He's saying, love your wife like you would want to be loved. It is a gentle, it is a tender care, but is also a sacrificial, her first kind of care. You know how Jesus loved his disciples? You think of the cross, and you should, but you should think of 1,000 other examples. Jesus taught them, he talked to them, he included them in his world. You know, I was told the greatest thing a wife wants from her husband, it starts with the letter P. I spent a whole week trying to guess what it was. And at the end of a week, a preacher said, it's your presence. And I went, "Dah!" You know, Jesus had time for his disciples. He was patient with them. Sometimes he had to correct them. He fed them. He prayed. One night, he prayed all night long for them. He prayed all the time for them. Do you know when he was about to die, when a brutal execution was on his mind, nothing was below him, he took time to do what only a servant, maybe a little servant girl would do. The master, the leader who would be carried off to be brutally beaten that night, found himself washing the feet of his disciples. Nothing was beneath him. Yes, he went to the cross, and has his love stopped for you? Not at all. Do you know that while you go out to lunch today, and while you do your thing the rest of the day, Jesus will be loving you today? Do you know that he lives to pray for you, Hebrews 7:25 says? Do you know that he defends you constantly before the devil's accusations? Do you know that John 14 says right now he is preparing a place for you? So you and I take a nap. He won't stop working for you. He will be serving you today because it's who he is. He loves his bride and it looks like something. Men, does your love look like something to your wives? Nothing was below Jesus. Is anything beneath you? Do you know, men, that I have learned that pans can be clean by both women and men? Toilets can actually be scrubbed by both women and men. Did you know that? Do you know your wives might have ideas? I would encourage you to do this. Here's a bold question to ask your family when you go home. Men, who is the greatest servant in this house? And if the answer by all of them isn't you, then ask how you could express the life of Christ in your home. Because God is calling us to a sacrificial kind of love. It looks like something. You know, sometimes I vacuum, now Claire does that, but sometimes I vacuum, and Jenny says, when I vacuum, I look attractive. I'm just saying. And so you begin to see, even in the most practical of ways, that to show love to your bride comes back to you. Comes back to you. And isn't that what the scripture is saying? Husbands, love your wives. And he goes, in the same way husbands love your own wives as your bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. This is good. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. So here's the thing. Jesus loves his bride, you know what? So he can have her back to him in heaven. And now, husbands, we're called to love our brides. And it is a blessing because she is part of us. You vacuum the floor. You've loved her and you've loved yourself. You take care of the kids, you come home, you take care of the kids for a little bit. By the way, little time out. Husbands, when you're done with your hard day and you're ready to get home and kick up your feet and show some leadership by choosing what channel gets played, you're not done with your day. Your job has merely just changed. It is not enough to come home and hand in a paycheck and wait for the family to serve you. We are done when the last person in our home is asleep. It just changes. So we can serve our wives in lots of ways. Just ask your wife. Your kids are in different stages. When they're young, you can serve your wife. You're the one who leads out in discipline. That would be an expression of sacrificial love. My word, she maybe has been at it a lot of hours in that day. You're the one that can lead out with some homework. You can figure it out. We can lead out. I'm saying we are not done until they're in bed. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. No, you're not going to save your wife, but you are going to put on a demonstration of the gospel. And I understand there's a lot of college men here. I just want to say right now that this ring is not magical. It will change nothing. The question for you right now is, do your mom and dad know that you came home because there's more laundry or less laundry? Does your mom and dad know that you just came home for the weekend because there's more dishes or less dishes? Is your presence in your home already as a young man a blessing or a burden? Because you will treat a bride one day just like you treat your mother, your sisters, your family. This is practice. This is real life. Emerging men who would long to be husbands, now is the time to start. Now is the time. It's your mother and your sisters and your family. That's the expression. That's the object of your service. That is a demonstration of sacrificial love. And young ladies, take note. If he doesn't love his mom with a sacrificial love, he doesn't serve his family, and it looks like something, he's not ready. He's still a boy. Yeah, he can grow facial hair, but don't be fooled. He's still a boy. He just needs to continue to grow. Man, we need to raise the stereotype of men from the ditches. There are two ditches, right? The passive, lazy, couch potato, I'll show some leadership, give me the remote, and while you're at it, get me this. And then there's this other ditch of domineering, strong-armed, loud. And some have seen these ditches, and they are repulsive. And sadly, sometimes I can fall into them. But Christ-like leadership would not be lazy and a burden, would not be domineering and call that leadership. It is a sacrificial kind of love that goes to the lamb like a slaughter, and before he does, leaves everyone's feet clean. Everyone had clean feet, except the Savior. No one cleaned his feet. Men, embrace the cross. The world is looking for a demonstration of Jesus Christ. Where will they see Jesus if not in us? You have a high calling, and it is time for men to not be boys, and for 40-year-olds to stop thinking their shiny truck makes them a man. It is time that we would say nothing is beneath us. We would wash feet. We could scrub a toilet. We could put our name on the dishes list. We could figure out ways to not get the mower because it would be a blessing for your wife to get the thing she wants, and you know it. We could go where she would want. How big a deal is that? It is time that the world would see a picture of Jesus, and God intended marriage to be a demonstration of the gospel and intended every husband this unbelievable privilege to put on a picture of sacrificial love to the world. They should see the gospel in your marriage long before they hear it from your lips. And women are called to submit and follow that leadership. Men, you would make it a lot easier if you would love like this. What woman would not want to encourage and support and nurture that man as a leader in their home who loves like that? God is calling us to this. This is His design. The Bible goes on in verse 31 to say this. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. It says there's a mystery here. This mystery is profound. And then he says, but I'm referring to Christ and the church. What? I thought you were talking about marriage the whole time. Do you like mysteries? I like mysteries, but they frustrate me because I don't often get them while I'm watching them. I'm watching like Sherlock Holmes or whatever, and I'm like, right, what? And then Jenny's like, you didn't see that? See what? Well, of course I did. What? You know, like, I just don't see it. My kids are nodding along like, are you kidding me? But you know what? What's good? Rewind. Like, when I watch it a second time, once it's already been explained to me, and I go back and watch it, you should watch it with me the second time. It'd be fun. He's like, oh! You know why he said that, right? Yeah, we saw that the first time, you know? Oh, that's it. That's why the music started just like that. You know, like, it just takes me a little while. I'm about to tell you something about marriage I did not understand when I got married. And for years I didn't understand. I'm about to tell you the mystery of marriage that I didn't even get. It's like I had to see it again before it clicked for me. The Apostle Paul says, this mystery is profound. I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Here's the most profound thing about marriage that I can tell you. It's not about you. The most profound thing about marriage I can tell you is it's never been about you. Marriage exists to put a demonstration in front of the world of Christ and the church. Every marriage, every husband and wife, the purpose of marriage is to show off the gospel. It was never about your happiness. It's not meant to be a tug and war battle where you just try and get what you want out of it. God is saying the point of marriage is the gospel. It's Christ and the church. And when I saw that, everything changed. Women, what is your greatest motivation to respectfully submit your husband's leadership, to encourage, to nurture, to support his leadership? It's simply this: to put on a demonstration of how the church should respond to her groom, Jesus Christ. And men, what is your motivation to love with a sacrificial love where nothing is beneath you? You would do anything it took to love her in the most mundane, practical, and yet huge ways. What's your motivation? Simply this: to put on a demonstration of how Christ sacrificially loves his bride. The point of marriage is the gospel. The purpose of it is the gospel. Your marching orders are clear, husbands and wives. And their disobedience does not justify your own. So wives, you say, well, shoot, if you would leave me like that, well, then I would finally, no. No, that doesn't work. And husbands, you know what? This nag that I have, see, I would love my bride if she would finally just, no. His or her disobedience doesn't justify your own. You have the power of the Holy Spirit to put on a demonstration of the gospel. The goal of marriage is to picture the gospel. The example in our part in this marriage is Jesus Christ, and the strength of it is in His Holy Spirit. And now I want to pray for every marriage that is strong and weak, and every potential husband and wife in this room. I just want to pray God's richest blessing and power into wherever we're at with this text. Let me pray. Oh, Jesus. God, I didn't know this was the point of marriage even when I got married. And so a little miniature goal was just get as much out of this as I can. Little did I know that it would be in loving Jenny that I truly would find the greatest blessing. Jesus, I pray for every divorced person in this room who has seen tremendous heartbreak, tears that have just soaked their pillows at night. God, I pray for renewal and a reminder of the gospel, that they would experience forgiveness, that they would experience, God, the cleansing that comes for you. I pray for every college student in here who would seek to one day be the kind of man, the kind of woman you would call them to be. I pray that you would renew their hearts for maybe what they saw growing up, that they would put on a picture of the gospel to a watching world. And I pray for every married couple in here that every woman would be caught up in the beauty of her role to show the world how Jesus is loved by his church, that the church would respond to her groom, and so would they, and every husband he would sacrificially love. Oh God, help us. We need you, Jesus. We need you. You're our example. Thank you for securing our salvation, and thank you for the new life we're about to celebrate through baptisms. We pray in your name. Amen.